Our scripture from James this morning wants us to throw ourselves wholeheartedly into prayer. He wants us to believe that our prayers work, that our prayers are not in vain, and he wants to assure us that God works in our lives through prayer. Are there any among you suffering? He asks. Pray. Any are cheerful? Sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church to pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Are any of you down in life? Prayer will lift you up. Anyone feeling great? Give God the thanks and praise. Sing, hum, make melody in your heart to God. Did you get some bad medical news? Now is the time to lean on your church. We want to lift you up in prayer. I want to lift you up in prayer as your pastor. The elders of the church are eager to surround you and uphold you in prayer. The oil of prayer has been prepared to cover you with a peace that transcends all understanding. Confess your sins to one another, James says, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. We should be a safe place here at First St. Paul's. Your friends, your Christian friends, should be a safe place. Nobody is going to be fooled. We are all flawed human beings. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We should be secure in our love for one another to confess our sins to each other and our weaknesses. Be vulnerable and pray for one another. This is not a hymn singing club. It's not a lecture hall. It's a church. It's an assembly of God's people. The building doesn't make the church, but the prayers of God's people as we gather together. It's not a political venue here either. It's more of a hospital for sinners, as James instructs us. And how sweet it is to throw the weight of guilt off our backs for one another and then assure one another of God's forgiveness and the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, who says, "I make all things new." And here is the encouragement that James wants us to walk away with. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. I like the King James Version. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman availeth much. In other words, prayer, according to God's command, is a force to be reckoned with. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. And prayer in genuine faith and in the strength of the name of Jesus works. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer works. And even more accurately, God has chosen to work in our lives through prayer. It's our neglect of prayer that may set us back. We're told in Scripture that Jesus intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. He engages in intercessory prayer. And the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us in our weakness, Scripture says, and when we do not know what to pray or to how to pray. And we pray because God has first prayed for us. We pray back to God. It's a conversation. It's how we talk to God, and it's how he talks to us. Communication is an essential part of any healthy strong relationship. Through prayer, we enter that relationship with God. If things are going well for us, we should not take it for granted. James reminds us. Good health, good relationships, a good job, and a good life are a gift. Every day we get out of bed is another gift from God, and we should get up singing and being grateful. If things are not going well, we should not think that it is a burden to God. He's already praying for us. He already knows our needs. And yet, he still loves to hear his children, just as loving parents, just as loving grandparents love to hear from their children and grandchildren, as a dear father as wants to hear from their dear children. We should not think that we're a burden to one another either. James puts the initiative on the sick to call for prayer. We should swallow our pride and call on one another. Let each other know, pray for me, we should say to one another. It may be your turn today to be prayed for. Tomorrow, it may be somebody else's turn. That image of the elders gathering around the sick, putting oil on them and praying for them, is a powerful reminder of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. It's a picture of God who covers us and anoints us, saturates us with his grace and his presence. I've heard people say many times, and even very recently, I sensed God's people's prayers for me when I was at the hospital. Or I felt the strength of your prayers. Thank you for praying for me. We should not deny ourselves or each other that blessing. We are not alone. God is with us. And the prayers of God's people are with you and me. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It is like precious oil on the head." It's how we gather around each other in fellowship and encourage and uphold one another. And we do so around the Anointed One in the name of Jesus. And it's what the Hebrew word Messiah means, anointed. It's what the Greek word Christ means, anointed. He is the one who's anointed by God to bring us forgiveness, life, and salvation, not only to us, but to the whole world. And that is the powerful promise that we have in the name of Jesus, that God covers us, our cups run over through prayer. In our prayers this morning that we've already prayed, we've already been anointed with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. In the confession of our sins, in the assurance and absolution, we are God's anointed. We are a holy nation, a chosen people. And he's placed on us that indelible mark on our foreheads through holy baptism. The Anointed One himself, Jesus Christ, gives his life on the cross and gives us his own body and blood to assure us of a forgiveness and eternal life. In a little more than a month from now, I'm excited to announce that we will have a jazz band from New York City right here at First St. Paul's. This is my commercial. Jazz Vespers at 5 o'clock, followed by a concert set at 6:30. Part of that service that starts at 5 will be an opportunity for you to come forward and pray and have an oil anointed on you. This is part of the service. And Pastor David Griebel from St. James is excited to join us and help me with that task. Later in the service this morning, during communion, we'll sing that African-American spiritual, there is a balm in Gilead. It's an answer to a question in Scripture from Jeremiah 8, verse 22, where God's people ask, is there no balm in Gilead? And the answer is, yes, there is. There is God's people praying for you. There is the Anointed One who anoints you and heals you. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.